Well, hey everybody, welcome to episode 185 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it's brought to you by our good friends at Coldwell Banker MidAmerica. Coldwell Banker is rooted in the legacy of our founder, renowned businessman and philanthropist, Marvin Pomeranz. We continue to tell his story through our love of people, homes, and the communities we serve. Our integrity guides our focus to empower people to make the best real estate decisions possible. We pair local ownership and knowledge with the power of an international brand and the most advanced technology to elevate the customer experience and expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. We're going to preview both the girls and boys state soccer tournaments tonight. In a little while, I'll be visiting with the head coaches of both the Ankeny and Ankeny Centennial girls teams that will open play on Tuesday at County Park. But right now, I'm going to visit with a couple of the boys players who will begin play with their respective teams on Wednesday. My first guest is a senior goalkeeper for the top-ranked Ankeny boys team. He's helped his team to a 19-1 record, including 11 shutouts. He's Kyle Peterson. Kyle, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
Thank you for having me.
Hey, you bet. Well, congratulations on qualifying for state. I know you played in a few games for Ankeny as a freshman when the Hawks qualified for state in 2019, but you're obviously playing a much bigger role now. You know, are you getting pretty excited to get out there on the field on Wednesday?
Oh, yeah. It'll be nice to get back in there in the state tournament for sure.
Well, you guys pretty much cruised through your sub-state bracket, posting 3-0 wins over Sioux City North and Sioux City East. You had to overcome some rainy conditions, though. Does that make it a little more difficult for you as the goalkeeper, you know, to grab the ball when it's wet?
Yeah, for sure, because, I mean, it just glides against the turf really well, and it's pretty tough.
Well, did either of those teams get very many chances against you guys?
Yeah, I got maybe 3 or 4 good shots on goal, but other than that, not a lot. Defense was strong.
We've had so many games this year where you guys have, you know, your midfield has been so dominant that you don't see a lot of action in the back there. I mean, is it almost easy for you to get complacent?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Our midfield does a great job. Connor Wahlberg, we'll be talking to you later. Great defender. Hunter, too. Great move.
Well, your team had earned a number one seed for sub-state based on your record, so you were obviously the favorite to come out of that bracket. Were you pretty confident that if you guys just came out and played your normal game that you would be okay?
Oh, yeah, for sure. We are more of a team that moves the ball, play style, and
that's all right. Well, when the pairings for state came out, you know, were you surprised to find out that you'd be playing the third-ranked team in Waukee Northwest, or were you aware of what was going on with them having to forfeit a bunch of wins, you know, from earlier in the season due to using an ineligible player?
We were not aware at the time until we saw the state places out, and we just got to deal with what we get. And
sure.
There's nothing we can do about it except go out there and play.
Well, you guys played Northwest on May 10th, and you defeated them 2-1 in overtime. You know, but they're clearly one of the state's best teams, even though they officially have a record of 8-10 right now. And I know Coach Varnum told me that you guys, you know, have to control what you can control. And he said that maybe you guys would eventually have to beat Northwest anyway to win state. But do you think it's fair for you guys to have to play them in the first round?
Not necessarily, because they are the number 3 ranked team regardless of the playing their ineligible players. But, I mean, it'll be a good competition for us in the first quarterfinal. If we can beat them, then we got Centennial Urbandale next.
Sure. Well, yeah, you guys will play the Wolves on Wednesday at 5 on Field 6. Now, in your first meeting against Northwest, Cole Schrage had a goal in the first half for the Wolves. He leads their team with 19 goals and 12 assists, and he was a standout hurdler on the boys' track team as well, so he's definitely a great athlete. You know, is he the guy in their squad that you have to be most concerned about?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Cole will probably he cuts in a little more. But I think our defense is up for the challenge for sure.
Well, if you guys are able to advance, like you said, you would then play the winner of the Centennial versus Urbandale game in Friday's semifinals. Now, with the new format for the tournament this year, you would get a day off between those games. Do you like the new format? Do you think that will raise the level of play on both Friday and Saturday since, you know, those teams would be a little fresher?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, obviously the state final for those teams that will make it to the state final will be harder because they just played the day before.
Right.
So it'd be nice to have one little day in there for at least the state final, but it's nice to get that quarterfinal and then break in
sure.
The semifinal for sure.
Well, we do have the possibility of an All-Ankeny semifinal on Friday. I'm sure you have some friends on the Centennial squad, and of course you guys beat them in overtime 2-1 on May 3rd. You know, would you like to play the Jaguars again?
I would like to play the Jaguars again. It's always fun playing them for sure.
Well, the other side of the bracket includes number 2 seed Johnston and 3 teams from Eastern Iowa. Now, you guys suffered your only loss against Johnston 3-2 in double overtime on May 6th. Do you expect the Dragons to emerge from that side of the bracket, and are you hoping to get another shot to play them?
Oh, I really hope they make it to the state final for sure. They're a well-sided team, and I'd love to beat them, finally beat them. Yeah.
Well, Kyle, I know your team's ultimate goal is to win the title. If you're able to reach that goal, what would that mean to you to finish your career as a state champion?
Oh, that'd be awesome. I've been waiting for that moment.
I'll bet. Oh, hey, thanks a lot for coming in. I appreciate it. And, hey, I'll probably see you down there on Wednesday.
Thank you.
You bet. All right, my next guest is a senior midfielder for the Hawks. He has contributed 5 goals and 5 assists this season. He is Connor Wahlberg. Connor, thanks for joining me. How
are
you doing?
Good. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing good. Well, congratulations on getting back to state. I know you started every game for the team that made it to state in 2019, and that year you guys lost to Iowa City West 2-1 in the quarterfinals. Do you remember much about that game and that whole experience?
Oh, yeah. I remember a lot from that. I mean, it was my first year, freshman year, first time playing in state. It was a great atmosphere, and I mean, it sucks we lost, but I think it was a great experience for me personally.
Well, you're one of maybe only a couple of guys on the team who actually played in a state tournament game. Have you shared with the guys, you know, what they can expect the atmosphere to be like on Wednesday?
Yeah, and honestly, I think May 3rd when we played Centennial in the Pack the Pitch, I think that was even crazier than state our freshman year. So I think they're already got a little used to it. But yeah, we're going up to see the girls game tomorrow and we're getting a good look at that atmosphere up there. And I think that'll help us a lot, but I think we're ready.
Well, I don't know if you get nervous before a game, but since you've played there before, do you think that will help you, you know, calm your nerves a little bit?
Yeah, I definitely think it will. I mean, I think that we've played in some pretty big games this year, and then obviously freshman year making it to state, so I think it helps a lot just to calm the nerves.
Well, of course, that 2019 team was coached by Jordan Burns, who had a very successful 2-year run with the program. He led Ankeny to a third-place finish in 2018. After Jordan left, former Ankeny player Marcus Varnum took over the program, and after the 2020 season was wiped out due to COVID-19, Marcus guided the team to an 11-6 record last year, so he now has an overall mark of 30-7. What do you think Marcus has brought to the program since he arrived, and have you enjoyed playing for him?
Oh, I think he's brought a lot to the program, and I've enjoyed playing for him a lot. I mean, he's just such a good guy and such a good coach, and I mean, he even gets into sessions and plays, and he's just so knowledgeable, and I mean, he's just a very good coach, and I think he's helped us a lot, honestly, to get where we are right now.
Well, he's such a young guy. I covered him back in the day, and of course, it wasn't that long ago when he did play. I mean, does that help him relate to the players, you think?
Oh, yeah, definitely. He knows exactly what we're going through and what it's been like, especially with being an alumni from Ankeny. I mean, he kind of just knows everything.
Well, you guys brought back just about every starter this year, so you know I thought you were going to have a good team, but then you added a real difference maker in senior Lucas Newhart, a homeschool student who joined the program this season. You know, all he has done is rack up a school record 36 goals, which is tied for 3rd in the state in scoring. He's accounted for more than half of the team's 70 goals this season. You know, so is it even possible to describe the impact that he's had on the team?
No, I mean, he's just been amazing for us. I mean, he's just a natural born goal scorer, and I mean, he's just done so much for our team where I think last year we struggled a little bit with the finishing side, and then we brought him in, and I mean, he's just brought a whole new level to our team, I think.
Well, obviously having him in the lineup changed the way that you guys maybe attacked opposing defenses and probably changed everybody else's role a little bit, you know, but I'm just curious to ask you something. Do you think this team would have been this successful without him?
I mean, I think he's provided a lot of goals, yes, and I think maybe we'd be obviously a little worse because of how good he is, but I think our team would still be pretty solid, honestly, and I know he brings a lot to the team, but I think we'd find just other ways around it. But, I mean, for example, Mason Yates, he has the most assists on our team, way more than even last year, and I think we have just some other big players that would just be able to step up in place of him.
Well, there have been some games where the defense has tried to take him away, and you've had other guys step up, so... Mm-hmm. Well, I've seen a lot of good players over the years, and I haven't seen all of your games this season, but you know, I've seen enough of what Lucas can do to know that he's, you know, really magical in the way that he can create opportunities for himself, you know, and then his ability to finish is pretty spectacular too, and I'm sure you've enjoyed playing with him.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, he's been my old club teammate, and then he kind of left probably 6th grade year, and so it's kind of just nice to be able to play with him again.
Well, do you think he's every bit as good as some of the standouts from that 2019 team, like Colby Rainieri and Charlie Pritchard? Because those guys played at a pretty high level, too.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely up there. And actually, we just came from a scrimmage with them. And I mean, just playing against them again, it's just, it's crazy how good they are. And I just love playing with all of them because of how amazing they are. And they show me up all the time.
Well, Connor, we talked to Kyle about the matchup with Waukee Northwest. You know, what do you see as the keys to victory? Will controlling Shragi be the key to keeping a clean sheet?
Yeah, I mean, I think Cole's definitely the most impactful player. I think they have a lot of other good players on their team who have a chance to do something against us. But I think controlling him is going to be the main objective for us. And then I think for us, it's being able to keep the ball and play our style and then, you know, obviously getting some goals.
Well, with a win, you guys would face Centennial or Urbandale in Friday's semifinals. And then you could eventually meet Johnston, the only team that defeated you in Saturday's championship game. Would you like a chance to play, you know, Centennial and Johnston again?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, those games, those atmospheres, they were amazing. And they were just fun to play in. And those are some of the top teams in state. And so it's just really fun to go out there and play against them.
Well, you guys are the number one seed in the tournament for a reason. And even though you maybe do have a tougher than expected first round matchup, do you feel like your team is showing this season that you're the team to beat?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, there's all these teams are really good, and they have a chance to beat us, but I think that we are definitely – we're the number one team for a reason. And Waukee Northwest, their punishment was to play us first round. So I think that if we can go all the way, but it's not going to be easy. I mean, all these teams out here are really good, and it's going to take a lot to beat them.
That's a good way to look at it, that their punishment is to play you guys. So. Well, I asked Kyle this, and I'll ask you the question, same question, too, to finish off here. You know, what would that mean to you to win a state championship?
Oh, it would mean so much to me. I mean, that's what I've been looking for my whole high school career, is to try and get to that state championship and trying to win it. So especially just senior year being the last game I'd play for high school, I mean, it would just mean so much.
Well, you guys are three wins away. It's going to be a fun weekend week down there. I'm looking forward to it. So, hey, thanks a lot for coming in, then. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so much.
You bet. All right, you're listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker MidAmerica. Gershman Mortgage is also a sponsor of the podcast. Gershman, the Midwest premier mortgage lender, is proud to be part of the Ankeny Fanatic Podcast. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home, vacation home, upgrade, or remodel an existing home, or refinance your current mortgage, Gershman Mortgage is here to help. With over 60 years in the mortgage industry, they have security, experience, and unmatched service. You can visit their Ankeny office. Call 515-964-5952 or visit Gershman.com to get pre-approved today. All right, my next guest is a senior defender for the 5th-ranked Centennial boys team. He has contributed 3 goals and an assist while helping the Jaguars to a 15-3 record. He's also been the leader of a defensive unit that has posted 11 shutouts this season, and he recently committed to play next year at Grinnell College. He is Evan Larson. Evan, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
I'm good. Doing well, and we're excited for the state tournament.
I'll bet. Well, congratulations on getting back to the state tournament. You're about 48 hours away from kickoff now. Are you getting excited to get out there and play?
Yeah, I mean, it's the sport we all love, and just getting to the state tournament's an awesome achievement for the boys, and we're looking forward to it, and we have that goal, and we're ready.
Can you just pull that mic just a little bit closer to you? There, it sounds a little better. There you go. Well, your team advanced to the state tournament for the third time under Coach Duex with a 2-1 win over Des Moines Hoover in a sub-state final on Wednesday. The conditions were definitely a challenge that night with the rain and the wet turf, and that made it tough for you guys to play the kind of soccer that you typically like to play, didn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, you guys got an early goal from Rashidi Ishibwami, and he now leads the team with 22 goals. You know, he's really been a great addition to the squad this year, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's been phenomenal, just a great character and a great player overall. We've loved having him. He's been a great addition to the team.
Well, Hoover tied the score with a great goal on a header off a corner kick in the 68th minute, but you guys needed less than a minute to respond. Braden Thiele scored off an assist by Andrew Heckenlabel, and that just kind of showed how resilient this team is, didn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just that determination that we have.
Well, when the state tournament pairings first came out, it looked like you guys were going to play Iowa City West, and then I think it was on Thursday sometime that the pairings were adjusted to show that you'll now be playing Urbandale on Wednesday at 5:10 on Field 7. So did you ever find out or get an explanation as to what happened there with the switch?
From my understanding, it was just like a problem with the math calculation kind of for the point rank like system that they have. But, I mean, we knew we were going to have to play a good team in any of these moments and games in this tournament, so we were just kind of prepared for any team we're going to play.
Well, yeah, Coach Duex told me that it wasn't a huge difference to him, you know, going from Iowa City West to Urbandale. Mm-hmm. You guys have already played both teams, and you defeated both of them. You know, either one of them would have been a quality opponent. You guys did defeat Urbandale in a shootout 3-2 on April 12th, and that game was probably most noteworthy for the 40-mile-per-hour wind gust that both teams had to deal with. Mm-hmm. So, but because of the conditions that night, I mean, there probably isn't a whole lot you can take away from that game, is there?
I mean, it just really their grit that they also have. I mean, we both had to play in those tough conditions, and I mean, we both had our successes and our failures in that game, but really we just got to not overlook them and play our game, and I think we should be able to do pretty well.
Well, Urbandale took a 2-1 lead in the 67th minute of that game, but you guys did tie it up on a PK by Ty Duex with about 5 minutes left in regulation. The game eventually went to a shootout, and you converted your kick to help the Jaguars win the shootout by a 3-2 margin, and the game ended when a kick by Urbandale goalkeeper Nathaniel Hursom sailed over the crossbar. Now, that's the only shootout that you guys have been involved in this year, and of course, last year you guys lost to Valley in the quarterfinals in a shootout. So are you confident that your team can prevail again if you get into another shootout this week?
Yeah, especially after last year, we've really been focusing on our PKs and just making sure we are confident going into those, and I think that showed pretty well in Urbandale, even though when we were trying to put the ball down and roll about for about 2 minutes, but yeah, we really focused on PKs, and I think we're doing pretty well on them, and we'll be strong if going into any more that happen to come up.
Well, I believe Urbandale scored both of its goals in that game on set pieces. They didn't score during the run of play, so do you feel like if you guys can clean up some things, you know, on those set pieces, that you'll be able to keep a clean sheet?
Yeah, totally. I mean, set pieces definitely have been more of a problem this year, but again, we have a great coaching staff, and it's really just kind of fine-tuning some pieces, and I do think we have the potential to really fix that up, and we've been working on those, and yeah, I think that's the main issue going into this, but that's definitely the formula to getting that clean sheet.
Well, Urbendahl's a couple of forwards who have combined for about 75% of the team's goals. Hayden Marks has racked up 21 goals on the season, while Iranzi, and I have no idea how to pronounce this name, Nikia Ritinemani, has added 11, including a header that found the net in the first game at Centennial. So are those the two guys that you think you have to be most concerned about?
I mean, they have a bunch of great players all around, but yes, they are very dangerous going at them. So, I mean, we definitely will watch for them. But again, it's really just going to come down to how we play our game, just kind of controlling the things we can control. But yes, they do have some very talented players that we do acknowledge.
Well, Evan, I know you've told me a couple times this year that your team's ultimate goal is to be playing on Saturday in the championship game. And I know Coach won't let you guys look beyond the first game, but I did want to ask you about the new format for this year's tournament, you know, with the girls and boys playing on alternate days. If you guys win Wednesday, you would then play in the semifinals on Friday. Did you think that off day on Thursday will help produce some better, you know, soccer on both Friday and Saturday?
Mm-hmm. Definitely playing those back-to-back games is tough for all teams, just especially in those sunny conditions that we were playing at last year. So I do think it's helpful for those teams to really just get that recovery, and we don't want anyone to get hurt or injured in those games. So I think it is pretty beneficial to all teams playing them.
Well, if your team advances, you'll play the winner of the game between Ankeny and Waukee Northwest on Friday. And along with Iowa City High, those are the only teams that have defeated the Jaguars this season. You know, so either of those opponents would give you a chance to get some revenge. I know you obviously have some friends on the Ankeny squad. Mm-hmm. So would you like another crack at the Hawks?
Yeah, we'd love to. I mean, the last Ankeny game was an awesome one. I mean, both teams played really well, and I think that game could have gone either way. So it'd be super fun to get to play them again on Friday.
Well, there's been a lot of discussion over the weekend about the Waukee Northwest situation. They were dropped down to the number 8 seed after they forfeited a bunch of games for using an ineligible player, so they are now entering the state tournament with an 8-10 record that doesn't really reflect, you know, the true strength of their squad because they were third in the most recent rankings. So I know some people feel like that isn't fair for the top seed Ankeny to have to play them in the first round, and I know this doesn't really affect you in the first game, but what do you think of that whole situation?
Yeah, Ankeny has put in a lot of work over this season, and I think their record demonstrates that. So it is pretty unfortunate that they got paired with another great team, Northwest, who've also been doing pretty well. But again, it's going to be a really tough game for both those teams. It's going to be a good game. So I do think it's unfortunate for both teams because they're two really good teams.
Right. Yeah, I was talking with some people over the weekend about the situation. I'm not sure what else they could have done to punish them other than just completely kicking them out of the tournament because But we just talked to Connor Wahlberg and just drawing a blank here, Kyle Peterson from Ankeny, and they both said that you know, they feel like Waukee's punishment is having to play the top seed. So that's a good way to look at it, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
Well, the other side of the bracket includes number 2 seed Johnston and 3 teams from Eastern Iowa. Who do you expect to emerge from that side of the bracket?
I mean, again, these are all really strong teams. They all could go either way. There's been a lot of upsets this year, so I really just. My overall guess would probably be Johnson, just based off the teams we've played so far and just kind of seeing them against us. But again, any of those teams could really step up and take it all. So
do you feel like this tournament's pretty wide open?
Yeah. I mean, it's going to come down to who's mentally dialed in and just controlling the things you guys can control.
And the ball bounces some funny ways sometimes too. I mean, sometimes the best team doesn't win, right?
Yeah, totally.
Well, Evan, if you guys are fortunate enough to get to Saturday's championship game and win it, that would be the first title for Centennial. The Jaguars play second in 2015, but have lost in the opening round in their last 2 appearances. What would that mean to you personally to finish off your career as a state champion?
I mean, just going through these high school past couple years, we've lost that sophomore year to COVID, which really sucked. But mainly it's for all those seniors that have come before us, that legacy that they started, like the hours they put into the weight room and just kind of all they've done for us. It'd be really awesome to get that title for them and for the boys that are putting in the work now. So create that legacy now, and hopefully it'll continue for generations to come.
Well, it should be a fun week. I'm looking forward to it. Hey, I'll see you down there on Wednesday, and thanks for coming in tonight.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
You bet. All right, you're listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker Mid-America. At Coldwell Banker, you're not one of many clients. You're our most important client. We listen to your needs to develop long-lasting relationships and provide the best services, professional support, and resources in the industry. We are constantly exploring new and innovative ways to elevate your experience and exceed your expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. All right, my next guest is the head coach of the 5th-ranked Centennial girls team. He's guided the Jaguars to a 16-3 record, and they have now qualified for the state tournament in all 8 years of the history of the program. He is Chris Allen. Chris, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks, Dan, for having me on as a representative of the program.
You bet. Well, I know your team is used to getting to the state tournament, and there have been a number of times when you've won that regional final game fairly comfortably. But boy, you know, Thursday's game against Johnson was anything but a breather. You had to go to a shootout before your team eventually prevailed. But, you know, you had to be sweating a little bit after the Dragons converted that first kick, and then the Johnson keeper came up with a save on your first attempt.
Yeah, you know, I really, really believed in our kids to step up in those moments. But it's always nerve-wracking. It can go any way. Your kids can have a great shot, and I think our first shooter did have a really strong shot to the far corner, and you know, unfortunately the keeper guessed or read it really well and was able to get there. But our kids have worked so hard on those, and I felt like there was a lot of confidence in that first five, the first five shooters that stepped up. And of course Kate on the other end, she's so explosive. She's got to make the shooter on the other end nervous, because you know, she can cover the goal so well.
Well, yeah, fortunately for you guys, Kate Bergen came up with a couple of big saves, and then Avery Porter, McKenna Hilton, and Lana Pennington each converted their kicks to give you guys a 3-2 lead before the game ended, when Johnston's Taryn Thielen was denied by Bergen. You know, what can you say about Kate's performance? She was really just dialed in during that shootout, wasn't she?
I think that's a good way to describe it. She was very focused, was very much believing in herself. I kind of separated her and Tegan from the rest of the field players before going into the shootout, and Coach Rame spent time with them and just talked about their strengths and you know, and just having the confidence to make a save. And then meanwhile I talked with the shooters about the confidence that they needed, and I think on both ends they were really well prepared to step up and to do the job that they needed to do.
Well, of course, that game never would have gone to a shootout if not for another save by Ella Becker. The Dragons nearly scored on a header off a corner kick in the 62nd minute as Bergen came out to try to grab the ball, but Becker was able to clear the ball from the line. And I know I was standing at the other end of the field, and when I saw the header from the Johnston girl, I thought for sure it was going in the goal. That was really a season-saving play, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, we would have had our work cut out for us for the next 18 minutes if that ball drops. But Ella stood firm there, and like I described it to you earlier, I thought it was a pretty heroic play. And I don't use that very often with sports, you know. Sports are a game and they're fun, and there's other types of heroism that goes on out there. But I thought it was just a gutsy move on her part to throw everything she had at it to clear that ball off the line and to give us an opportunity to stay in the game.
Well, now you guys will get to play number 4, Waukee Northwest, in the quarterfinals on Tuesday at 3:15 on Field 8. And this will be a rematch of a game from May 13th at Northwest, which was won by the Wolves 1-0. Mm-hmm. Now, I know you watched that game from home due to an illness. What were your takeaways from that night?
I thought we had some really, really strong attacking options during that game. And, you know, just we're off a little bit on the execution. But I like the chances that we were able to create during the run of play. You know, I think one of the things we got to be aware of is that they're going to be very dangerous on set pieces, and they can put that ball in the box from quite a few distances. Of course, the goal they scored was off a corner kick. And so we've got to really kind of buckle down on how we handle those situations, because at the state tournament, set pieces can be key. And if that's one of their strengths, we've got to be ready for it. But I really liked a lot of our build-up play throughout the match. I thought the girls did a nice job of giving themselves shots. And you know, even though I wasn't there to help cheer them on in the moment, it was something that, you know, having a bird's eye view, I was able to see a lot of things during the run of the game.
Well, yeah, Northwest's Macy Davis scored the game's only goal in the 11th minute, and that came off an assist from Natalie Gallagher, and that was off a corner kick, like you mentioned. But just looking at the stats, it appears that you guys probably did have more of the scoring chances. Your goalkeeper, Bergen, had 5 saves in the game. Northwest, Victoria Spahn, had 10. So I mean, you guys certainly had your chances, didn't you?
Yeah, I think the girls really did execute the game plan really well during that game, and you know, we'll see what we'll have to adjust going in tomorrow. But you know, the grass will change some things, and of course it's a state tournament, and that will change some of the mental aspects of the game, or the psychological aspects of the game. But in terms of our game plan at that time, I think the girls executed very well, and you know, we were inches away a couple times. You know, we hit a crossbar, and on a putback we had just missed wide by probably 6 inches. So I really think I hope our girls will have some confidence after that first game.
Well, I don't want you to give away the specifics of your game plan, but you know, is there anything that you guys can do differently tactically this time, or is it really just a matter of executing what you guys normally do and maybe just taking advantage of those chances?
Well, I think it's a little bit of both. Like if we don't make some changes tactically after a 1-0 loss, I don't think we're doing our homework. But it's also, you know, some of the execution, and that comes with just some confidence, and that's something we've been working on building. Like, this is a team that I full-heartedly believe in, and I believe the girls that come in later in the games, they could step up and do some of the same things as well. And it's just getting everybody on the same page there and having confidence in themselves and be even, you know, you could even see in the Johnston game where at times we kind of got in a back and forth with Johnston, but when we settle the ball and move it around, we do a nice job of making teams chase things. And so it's that just comes down to composure and confidence. And I believe the girls can execute that, you know, and it's just a matter of getting them on that same page where they believe it as well. And just play in a way we want to play.
Well, if you guys are able to win, you would then advance to a semifinal on Thursday against the winner of a game between top-seeded and defending champion Valley and Muscatine. Now, there's a new format for this year's tournament with the girls and boys playing on alternate days, so all of the girls' winners will have a day off between games throughout the tournament. Do you think because of that we'll see a higher level of play on both Thursday and Saturday?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, a day of rest is going to allow any team to one, you're going to be able to prepare for the team better. You know, it's not just a guessing game of mm-hmm. what you're going to get into. You're going to probably be able to pull up the video from the night before, and you'll actually have a little bit of a training session where you can walk players tactically through some of the things that you want to do. And that wasn't an option before. I mean, you might be able to get kids up in the morning at like 9, right before you get on the bus, a little bit later right. in the afternoon. But here you'll actually have a day to kind of think about it, and it looks more like what you do for the entirety of the rest of the season when you're preparing a Monday night for a Tuesday game or a Thursday night for a Friday game. So I really do like that format, and I do think it will allow teams to play at a higher level tactically, and not all of the game will just be that emotional, who can dig in the deepest and who can fight the hardest, you know, to get the championship at the end. Especially because kids now can get treatment. You know, if they get a bump or whatever the day before, they have an opportunity to get a little a look at it or whatever through our trainers, and a chance to recover, you know, just to fill the tank again. And, you know, in the past formats, when you're playing 3 days in a row, you're playing on an empty tank and you're playing with heart. And that's pretty much what it was.
Well, Valley is the only unbeaten team in the field, and you guys did play them earlier this season. You dropped a 1-0 decision on your home field. And, of course, last year your team dropped the 2-1 decision to the Tigers in the Class 3A semifinals. So I'm sure your girls would love to have another opportunity to knock them off, wouldn't they?
Yeah, I'm sure they would as well. But, you know, we have a philosophy on our team to go one game at a time. And so right now it's Waukee Northwest that we're focusing on. There's no reason to even look at that semifinal game until we take care of what happens in the quarterfinal.
Right, right. Well, I guess Valley would have to be the favorite to win the title. But, you know, they've had some close games this year. They also defeated Ames, Council Bluffs, Lincoln, and Dowling by just one goal, so they've certainly been tested. Mm-hmm. And I know one of Valley's strengths last year was its depth, but maybe with the new format this year, you know, some of that strength will be negated a little bit, do you think?
Yeah, I you know, we've had depth before in the past, and we've benefited from that. And so I think any team with great depth is going to benefit no matter the situation. But it does level a little bit, you know. But on the other end, weather can level things. So, you know, if we get a stormy day, who knows? The game can favor the team that likes to play long balls and kind of create sloppy chances versus a team who likes to play, you know, nice soccer throughout the pitch.
Well, the other side of the bracket includes number 2 seed Council Bluffs Lincoln, which you handed your team a 2-1 loss early in the season, and number 3 seed Ankeny. Now, you guys are the only team to beat Ankeny. In fact, you're the only team to score against the Hawkettes this season. So how do you see that side of the bracket? You know, Ankeny's trying to get to the championship game for the 4th straight season. Do you expect them to get there?
Yeah, I would have to think Ankeny is the favorite on that side of the bracket. One, because I know what Simon can do to prepare for a team and get his squad prepared. And two, just because of how well they defend. And, you know, and everybody talks about defenses winning championships, and he kind of gets that team into that mindset and has been able to get them into that final game multiple years in a row now. So definitely on that side of the bracket, I would look to see what Ankeny can do.
The Lincoln team's legit, though. I mean, a few years ago, I know that they had some lopsided losses at state or in the regional final, but boy, looking at their scores, I mean, they're legit this year, aren't they?
Yeah, you know, they're a dangerous team, especially out in the wing. I believe her name is Hannah Schimmer, really strong player. She's a little crafty. She finds ways to take a little touch and get the ball into space and can make the move down the channel. I'd like to see what they can do, you know, with multiple games against tough opponents, multiple days in a row, which is what a state tournament's going to ask of them. But certainly legit. I wouldn't take anything away from them in terms of their ability to play with any of these teams.
Well, of course, your team won titles in 2016 and 2018, and you won that second one in an all Ankeny final, and we could have a rematch of that title game if both teams can win 2 games. That would certainly be a lot of fun to cover if that happens. But do you see any similarities with your team this year and those championship teams that you coached?
Yeah, I think I see probably more similarities with the 2018 team. That team was very gritty, and they were able to adapt to different game plans and to execute those game plans in the moment. 2016 was kind of a powerhouse of a team, and had the ability to run through a lot lot of teams all season long, and you know, and we're not necessarily a powerhouse this year. I think we're well organized. I think we're a group of kids who are going to grind and put in work, and they're resilient, and they've been able to handle some adversity. And I really, in that way, liken it to that 2018 team that was in a lot of close matches. I think we had a lot of 1-0, 2-1 games. We had some PK shootouts, and so that's, in that way, I would find this team very similar to that team.
Well, if you guys can get to Saturday's game, I'm sure your girls would love to play anybody, whether it's Ankeny or anybody else, right?
Yeah. We just want one more day together. So, you know, we'll work on tomorrow's Tuesday game and then hopefully win a day on Wednesday and Thursday.
All right. Well, it should be a fun week. I'm looking forward to it. Hey, I'll see you down there tomorrow, Chris.
All right, Dan. Thanks a lot for having me on.
You bet. All right. Well, my final guest tonight is the head coach of the third-ranked Ankeny girls squad, and he has guided the Hawkettes to a 17-1 record this season. They're looking to reach the championship game for the fourth straight year and to win their second title in the last three seasons. He is Simon Brown. Simon, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
Good, Dan. Thanks for having us. Appreciate it.
Hey, you bet. Your team qualified for state with a 3-0 victory over Cedar Falls in a regional final on Thursday. That was a pretty comfortable win for you guys. You know, unlike last year's regional final when you had to score two goals in the last 13 minutes to beat Johnston 2-1, it was probably nice to not have to sweat it out so much, huh?
I think the Johnston game last year, it was a tough game, which was what we needed to kind of figure out that we were good enough to be at the state tournament, because we kind of had an up and down season. So it was important to get a tough game going into state, because we knew that once you get there, every game is tough. But, you know, Cedar Falls, we scouted them well and we prepared really well for them. So again, the scoreline and the stats may flatter, but the girls, like I said, I think they played their best game of the season against Cedar Falls. So they were saving their best stuff till the end.
Well, you guys got a goal from Brooke Harrington just 80 seconds into the game, I think, and then Emma Gott added another goal in the 12th minute. And considering that your team has allowed only one goal all season, anytime you have a 2-0 lead, you have to feel pretty good about your chances.
Yeah, that's normally what it is. And I said to the girls at halftime, if we get the next one, I think it's game over. You know, not to sound overconfident, but if we let them hang around and they score one, if they started, it's a regional final, if they started throwing stuff at us, and then they got a goal, we never know what could happen. So again, it was just important to get that push in the second half and get that third goal to really sure things up, because when we got that third goal, like I said, I was fairly confident that it was game over. We got that pretty early in the second half. So,
well, your team will now play 7th-ranked Pleasant Valley in the quarterfinals on Tuesday at 3:45 on Field 7. This is a team that you're very familiar with, because you played them twice last year after losing to them in overtime early in the season. You later defeated them 1-0 in the Class 3A quarterfinals on a late PK by Rachel Christman. And this is pretty much the same team that they had last year, right?
Yeah, their midfield has changed a little bit. But just from what I gather, they play the same way. They have a very, very good forward up top with Morgan Russman, who scored 28 goals this year. And mm-hmm. anytime you can score 28 goals in 3A, you're a, you know, top, top player. So we got to account for her. And, you know, they've had some big results this year. They've been close in other games. So, yeah, they're a good team. They're definitely a top 10 team. So it'll be a good game.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you about Russman, those 28 goals, that puts her in the top 25 statewide in terms of scoring among all classes. And I don't want you to give away your strategy, but is she the kind of player that you have to build your game plan around, or do you have enough confidence in your defense to just play the way that you normally do because the results have been so good?
I mean, we're not going to change. I heard a good thing, it was a couple of weeks ago, I read something good, that if you change your game plan for a specific game and you lose, you end up losing twice. So we're not going to change who we are. Like I said, we've played 18 games so far, and you know, same formation, pretty much same personnel with the girls rotating and the same tactics, same stuff. So again, I think we're in a fairly confident place where teams are going to have to account for us. So the way I gather the game will go tomorrow will be Morgan in a 2v1 against Eden and Jenna. If she can get past them two, then fair play, she deserves a score. And it should be 3v3 with their front three and their back three, the way that they're set up too. So again, it'll kind of be, I think that'll determine the game, those two specific battles.
Yeah, that makes sense to me when you've only allowed one goal all year. Yeah, make the teams adjust to you, right?
I mean, like I said, I think we're in a very fortunate position where we have a great group of girls that are not only great athletes, but they're also very, very committed and motivated from what happened last year. You know, I think they never thought that they could make the final, and then when they did, they were really upset that they lost, because they got a little belief in themselves. So again, I'm in a very fortunate position that it's easy to motivate them, because they only have to look very, very recently to last year. But again, we're still just taking it a game at a time, and we know that PV is a massive test for us on tomorrow, which is Tuesday. Yeah.
Well, yeah, Pleasant Valley also has a freshman defender in Sophia Lewis, who's a close friend of yours. Can you talk a little bit about how you got to know her?
Yeah, so when I was at Ashford, and I'll correct you on the interview, I'm actually from Ireland, not from Scotland. I was Jordan from Scotland.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, so no. So when I was at Ashford, I was doing some of my first licensing. So this was in 2013. The dad, Chad, was also on the coaching course with us, and he was looking for some people to help out with his kids. So he coached the three teams. So he got me and my good friend, Mark Hiller, to help out coach his three teams. And then he had those three kids on there. So again, we coached, there was a U6, U7 team, a U9 team, and a U11 team. And then we coached them for 2 or 3 years. So again, after that happened, he kind of took us in. So again, we'd house sit for them. We'd mind their dogs. And, you know, we kind of grew up with the family as well for those 4 or 5 years. And, you know, me and Mark are on to full-time jobs now, but we still keep in touch with them. I was speaking to Chad and Angela, the parents, this week. I was messaging Sophie on Instagram about the game on Tuesday. So it'll be good for us. It'll be, like I said, very selfishly, it'll be a good moment for me to coach against Sophia. And, Chad was a bit upset because he thinks we're going to win the game. And I was like, listen, whatever happens, we can both be happy, because if PV beat us, that means that I've got somebody to root for in the semifinals and the finals. And again, same thing for us. So hopefully he's just as excited for me if we manage to get the win tomorrow.
Sure. Well, the winner of your game will advance to Thursday semifinals against either number 2 seed Council Bluffs Lincoln or number 7 seed Dowling Catholic. Now, there is a new format for this year's tournament with the girls and boys playing on alternate days. So all of the girls' winners will have a day off between the games throughout the tournament. Do you think that because of that, we'll see a higher level of play on both Thursday and Saturday?
Yeah, I mean, just hearing stories of the way that they used to do state, where they did 2 games in a day and then the final another day. And then 2019, when it was just grueling, where we had Thursday, Friday, Saturday, you know, the game on Saturday just wasn't a great spectacle because it was just trying to manage minutes for girls. You know, mm-hmm. They're playing in 80, 90 degree heat, so it's not really the best quality team. It's whoever's the fittest and freshest. So again, I think that things like this now, where they're giving us days breaks, you know, which it isn't the perfect situation, but we get that rest. I think you're going to see a lot more teams that aren't as deep being more competitive as the tournament goes on, because usually it was, you know, if you can't get rest on the first day, if you don't win your game 2-3-0, you can never get your kids out and give rest. So I think that's what we're going to see this tournament. So again, I'm excited for it. I'm glad they're making a step in the right direction. It's one of the things that they are doing right is, you know, giving rest days in the middle. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they do moving forward. So I'm excited for it.
Well, I know you're not looking past the first game, but if you are able to advance, I wanted to get your thoughts on your next opponent. How do you see that Lincoln versus Dowling game? You guys have played both of those teams. You beat Lincoln 1-0 and Dowling 2-0. And I know Lincoln doesn't play as tough of a schedule as the CIT ML teams do, but they certainly tested themselves with some out-of-conference games. They had a 2-1 win over Centennial and a 1-0 loss to Valley. So they're legit, aren't they?
Yeah, they have some difference makers. And I think that's where probably them and Dowling are very similar. You know, they have Dowling's got... excuse me, Ella Anlicker and Council Bluffs has that Shimmer, number 17, that plays in the wing. And they're both individually very, very good players that can change a game in a second, you know, similar to what PV has with a Russman up top, you know. So mm-hmm. just those individual players that are, you know, if they were on any one of our teams in Des Moines, that they'd be superstars here, you know. So they can cause a threat at any moment. So you got to account for those good players. So, you know, I think it'll be a close game. I hope it's a close game between Dowling and Council Bluffs. So either one of whoever comes out of us in the PV game, you know, they got a better chance as it goes on. But like I said, it's a, yeah, it should be a good game. It's on the field over for us. So there should be a couple of cheers from there with those good players scoring goals.
Well, Simon, your program is so used to getting to the championship game, having been there in each of the last 3 seasons. And I know your ultimate goal is to get there again and to win the title. Your team that won it in 2019 came in as the 6th seed, but then you posted 3 consecutive shutouts to win the crown. And that was capped off by a 1-0 win over top-ranked Waukee. Do you see any similarities with that team and this year's team, just with the way that this team's able to defend?
I'd like to say yes, but not really. I think it wouldn't be fair to the girls that we have now, because they have their own personalities and their own unique skills. I think we set up differently as far as formation-wise and tactics-wise. I think when we went in 2019, we were the number 6 seed. So, and again, it was my first year. I didn't really know what to expect. So I was just hoping to not make up the numbers, you know, which means that if you're number 6, if you win 1 game and get to the semifinals, you overachieve. So that was kind of the what we were looking for going in from last year. But those girls had their motivation from 2018 that I was trying to manage from mm-hmm. losing in the final to right. Centennial 3-2 going into 2019. So again, it was a unique moment managing those specific girls, because we had like 8 seniors that all had their own motivation. And then this year, we've kind of been working as a group of how we wanted the season to look. So I got to spend a little bit more time with the girls about just them believing in themselves and what it takes to win and the sacrifices that they're not going to need to give if they want to, you know, not be upset on June 4th this year, or they don't want to be set in a semi-final or a quarter-final. So, yeah, it's similarities in regards of the culture and then them wanting to win. But as far as the individual players, there's so many differences between those two teams, yeah.
Well, obviously, if you get to Saturday's final, you could get a rematch of last year's title game, which was won by Valley 1-0. The Tigers are the only unbeaten team in the field, but they have had some close games this year. Four of them were decided by just one goal. And I certainly don't expect a Muscatine to knock them off in the quarterfinals, but I do think the winner of that Centennial versus Northwest game, you know, could give the Tigers a run for their money in the semifinals. How do you see that side of the bracket unfolding?
You know, I think it's tough because I think that Centennial Northwest on any given day could be number two and number three in the state. And it's unfortunate how the rankings played out that they have to go there. You know, everyone's going to say you have to win the toughest games. But I think what you'll see tomorrow is that field will be packed, the Centennial-Northwest game, because it'll be the best game, mm-hmm. you know, in my opinion. And just being a little bit biased towards the Des Moines schools, they're on one of the smaller fields with the stands, but it'll be busy. And that game that they played a couple of weeks ago was a very, very high-level game with crazy chance. It was only 1-0 game. So all credit to Coach Gabriel and Coach Allen. They have two fantastic squads that are going to battle out. And that'll be the marquee game tomorrow that everyone will watch. And I think that they'll put on a show for the CML and show that they are, you know, one of the top two, three teams in the state. So again, if I wasn't coaching at the same time, I'd be watching that game. So I don't know how it's going to go. I know that they're going to give each other a great game.
Well, I'm sure you feel like the winner of that game, though, could come out of there and give Valley a game, don't you think?
Yeah, I think so. And honestly, like, Muscatine has some difference makers as well. I know that people are probably writing them off as the number 8 seed. They beat Linmar, who didn't lose a game in Des Moines. And, you know, they got some goal scorers up top. So, you know, they have, you know, more Division I recruits than Valley, Centennial, Northwest, and ourselves. On their squad. So again, they've got some difference makers that, you know, will give Valley a game, and they'll know that too. They won't look past them. So again, we were all in Burlington together as we watched Muscatine play, and they're a good team.
Well, I know in last year's championship game, Valley was able to take advantage of its depth because they were able to sub in waves of players that most teams can't do. Do you think that advantage will be less of a factor this year just because of the new format?
I think so. I think looking at the Saturday, it'll probably be, the rest will help. And then just from my experience in the last couple of years, I think it's not normally the fittest or the fastest teams that win, it's the freshest. So how quickly can you recover, and how can you get kids into the game so that you can you know, last the 3 days? So that's my opinion of how, you know, we've been able to manage the 3 days, because it's tough. It means you got to throw some kids in that probably haven't played a lot of minutes throughout the year, and you got to put them in positions just to give kids rest, because the kids out there are, you know, they're dying. They're giving everything for their team, for their community, to try win the game, and it's cooking in the heat, and then they got to get through it. So again, it's a very unique experience, and I know that not just my team, but all the teams are excited for it.
Well, as much as your girls would probably like to have an opportunity to knock off the defending champs, you know, there's also a chance that you could meet Centennial in an all-Ankeny final, which would give you guys a chance to avenge your only loss. It would also give the program a chance to avenge that loss in the 2018 championship game, you know, even though that was before you came here and before any of these girls joined the varsity. But given a choice, do you think your girls would rather play Centennial or Valley?
That's a tough question. It's kind of like which one of your worst enemies would you like to go on a date with your sister? You know what I mean? you don't want either one of them. I don't know. I can't answer that question. Both of them are terrific squads. If whoever makes it out of that side of the bracket to the final is going to deserve to be in the final. So with the wars that they're going to have. So again,
if you guys get there, you're just going to be happy to be there. You'll play anybody, right?
Oh, you play. It doesn't matter. Like, in 2019, we had the number one seed. Last year, we had the number one team. Anyone can win it. It's any one of the 8 teams can go there and win it. And it's not, seeding doesn't matter. You know that, because seeding is just one guy's opinion. It's just the state does it that way. And you can see the way it's set up that year. If multiple people were in charge of the seeding, if the coaches were in charge of it, you wouldn't see Northwest and Valley playing in a quarterfinal. That could be a state championship game, you know. As difficult as it is for them, I think, like I said, they'll do a great job with a crowd tomorrow. I think everyone will go watch that game. So I know all the coaches will be there. I know all the 2A schools will. If you're picking a game, that's the one you're going to go watch.
Well, the fact that those two teams are playing each other right away, I mean, that just shows you how strong the field is this year.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. It's crazy that they're playing each other. And, you know, I know they're both excited for it. And then, like I said, whoever comes out of that game, they're going to be ready for the Valley game, and they'll be a team that deserves to be in the semi-final. You know, they'll be a deserved team that comes up against a Valley or a Muscatine. So again, fair play to them. I know that they're going into a massive game right away that they got to be ready for. So yeah.
Well, you have three seniors on this team: Eden Gibson, Brooke Harrington, and Kennedy Mackey, who all played on that championship team in 2019. You know, if you guys can win another crown this week, you know, that'd be a great way for those three kids to bookend their high school careers, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I think just making it is massive for them. You know, there's power in them making it because it means that it's kind of in their control, you know. And we always say, like, you want to make the season last as long as possible, and you want to play every single game. So again, we don't really talk about winning state. We talk about what can we do to make that game, because if you make that game, it means we can manage those first two games. And then once you're in a final, anybody can win. So again, we always talk about how can we manage our legs? How can we get the subs right? How can we give girls rest throughout the games? And hopefully the results are going the right way so that we can get there and give ourselves a great chance on Saturday if we're lucky enough to make it.
Well, it should be a fun week. I'm looking forward to it. Hey, I'll see you down there tomorrow, and thanks for coming in tonight.
Thanks, Dan. Appreciate it.
You bet. All right, you've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker Mid-America. I want to thank my guests again for coming in tonight. We had Connor Wahlberg and Kyle Peterson from the Ankeny Boys soccer team, along with Evan Larson from the Centennial Boys team. And then we had girls coaches Chris Allen of Centennial and Simon Brown of Ankeny. Appreciate all the time from those folks here on this Memorial Day holiday. And I hope everybody out there in our listening audience is having a great holiday today as well. And I've enjoyed previewing both the tournaments with all of those folks. And it's going to be a fun week down there at County Park. I'm sure a lot of you will be down there. And come back next week for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast.